inquire about these things. When you visit a facility, request that the nurse who conducts your tour be one who is partial to natural birth. The tour you receive will make a difference. Here are some questions for you to consider. Is there flexibility in policies and willingness to accommodate hypnobirthing preferences in the absence of special circumstances? Are there nurses on staff who are partial to natural birth? Do they have several tubs, pools, or jacuzzis? Do they have birthing balls, or can you bring one? Will you be fed if your labor lingers? Are snacks available? Are you free to walk outside or within the hospital? May you remain in your own clothes during labor? Is immediate skin-to-skin bonding time allowed with the baby? Are labor companions or assistants welcome? Is there a rooming-in provision so that the partner and baby stay in the same room as the mom? Are statistics on inductions, augmentations, epidurals, and cesarean births available? Freestanding birth centers. Freestanding birth centers are not usually affiliated with a medical center and are owned and operated privately by professional midwives or CNMs. They are able to accommodate the family who is not in the high-risk category with an atmosphere that is close to a home away from home. Midwives who own and operate birth centers have doctors who act as consultants in the event of special circumstances that require special procedures. The birth center is more likely to afford you the opportunity to birth without intervention. Though, as in all other situations, the philosophy of the person owning the center can be favorable to gentle birthing or only a bit less aggressive than what you would encounter in some hospitals. You will also want to ask the same questions of a birth center staff member as you do of hospital staff. Because the birth center focuses on healthy women with healthy pregnancies, they don't have to be equipped with all of the high-tech apparatus that is needed for women with pregnancy complications. Birthing in a birth center is safe and considerably less costly than hospital birthing. Home birth. There is much misunderstanding and misinformation about home births. Among them are the myths that home birthing is dangerous, hospital births are safe, and home birth midwives are not as qualified to attend births as doctors or CNMs are. A study done by Dr. Louis Melmadrona in 1976, in conjunction with researchers at Stanford University, compared the safety of home birth with hospital births. The results showed that morbidity outcomes of the 2,092 births studied were identical. The study also showed that only 5% of the mothers birthing at home received medication, whereas 75% of the in-hospital births received medication. Even more revealing, 3 times as many cesarean sections were performed on the mother in hospital births as there were in the planned home births that required transfer to a hospital. Babies born in hospitals suffered more fetal distress, newborn infection, and birth injuries than did those born in homes. Interestingly, 66% of the home births were attended by doctors, which would suggest that when women are relaxed in the comfort of their own homes and are allowed to birth normally, what is looked upon as a medical incident can evolve into something quite natural and safe. Not commonly known is that the home birth midwife or the CNM, like birth center attendants, are required by most state regulations to carry the same equipment and drugs that are used to meet the most common special circumstances that occur in hospitals. The need, however, is rare. Baby's choice. Occasionally, while their parents have plans that are quite different, hypnobirthing babies may decide that it is all right to be born en route to the hospital, or even in the comfort of their own homes. It is important to know that there is nothing about this situation that creates an emergency or that is necessarily cause for panic. As many taxi drivers, policemen, and EMTs will attest, babies can be born safely wherever they choose. Should your baby decide that your bedroom or the back seat of your car, away from the hustle and bustle of other people, is perfectly fine with him, you can remain calm and offer the same gentle birth you had planned earlier. We suggest that when you set out for the hospital, drape the back seat of your car with plastic bags underneath a sheet, and be sure to bring pillows. It's better to pull over to the side of the road than to risk rushing through traffic. If you are at home, it is better to just get off your feet with something underneath you and relax where you are in your home than to risk having the baby emerge while you're running to get to the car. Baby will be much happier, and you will be better able to maintain the calm and joy of his birthing. Since much of the apprehension over an unplanned out-of-hospital birth lies in questions about how to handle the umbilical cord, it is important for you to know that leaving the cord attached, even for hours, as is done in some cultures, is safe and quite beneficial to the baby. Your practitioner can offer more details. A pregnant woman is like a beautiful flowering tree. But take care when it comes time for the harvest that you do not shake or bruise the tree, for in doing so, you may harm both the tree and its fruit. Peter Jackson, RN, Australia. The management styles of labor compared. This chapter has been included at the request of parents who expressed a feeling of being well prepared for natural instinctive birthing, but who felt totally unprepared to meet the protocols that could be imposed in a less than natural setting, or with a provider who subscribes to active management of labor, AML, and to a lesser degree, even in a standard birth setting. You can avoid encountering a confrontational situation and/or disappointment if you have prepared thoroughly and discussed these issues with your care provider to determine if the provider is, in fact, on the same page as you are on in regard to gentle birthing. As parents, you need to take responsibility for making choices based on knowledge and questioning. You need to know if the birthing environment and the provider that you are presently with is in fact a true fit with your wishes and for how you want the birth of your baby to play out for mom, baby, and dad. Management models. Active management of labor. Management for standard or conventional birth. Management for instinctive physiological birth. Parental self-management for unassisted birth. We will explore the various management styles of those care providers who attend births. Active management of labor. This method of labor involves a concerted effort to forcefully cause the birthing body to do what it already has the innate ability to do with ease, comfort, and dignity if left undisturbed. Developed in the late 1960s and 70s in Ireland in an attempt to reduce the number of cesarean sections, it was assumed that mothers who had long labors were traumatized. A normal birth, according to AML standards, was about 24 hours. Over the years, that timeline was considerably shortened to 12 hours. AML has not decreased the cesarean rate, but instead has had the opposite effect. Today, only a few providers in Ireland are becoming more aware of the natural rhythm of birthing and respect that birthing belongs to the family, not to the provider. Birthing in a hospital does not necessarily mean that your birth will be a managed birth. Some hospitals have gone to great lengths to provide an environment that fits with the goals and wishes of the parents, and not all hospitals, doctors, or midwives engage in active management labor procedures. Many providers refrain from this approach unless circumstances of the birthing deem it necessary in cases of high risk. However, it is sadly true that a very large percentage of hospital facilities and providers today are needlessly using some or all features of AML rather than exercising patience and allowing labor to play out naturally. If you have chosen a birth attendant who subscribes to AML, you are more likely to experience interventions. Standard or conventional. The management style that most couples will meet if they choose to birth in a hospital will follow protocols which can be a blend of the regimen of active management of labor and a less strict instinctive physiological labor. Which one of these they encounter depends wholly on the philosophy of the birth attendants. Management for instinctive birthing. Instinctive births are managed when the need arises. Most care providers who subscribe are happy to honor parents' requests for unmedicated and unintervened births. Parents and doctors work together as a team, and there is an understanding that should there be a medical indication for intervention, they will have the full cooperation of the parents. These births are calm, joyful, and peace-filled. Babies born in this manner are mellow, content, and happy. Parents report that they are easily cared for. When baby is breech. In preparation for birthing, sometime between the 32nd and 37th weeks of pregnancy, the baby turns from its upright position into what is called a vertex position in preparation for birthing. With this turn, the baby's head is properly positioned down at the mouth of the cervix. Because the head contains the brain and the skull, it is the heaviest part of the baby's body. Once the baby is almost fully developed, the natural pull of gravity is usually sufficient to draw the head down. Most of the time, this turning goes without note, especially if it occurs while the mom is sleeping. The turn can be delayed, however, if the mom is experiencing fear or tension, or if there are circumstances in her life that are upsetting. Some moms, for any number of reasons, are reluctant to let go, and so their uterus remains taut, and the baby is not able to complete the turn. When this happens, the baby, deprived of adequate space in which to turn, is unable to complete the rotation and remains in the original upright position. The baby's buttocks remain at the neck of the uterus in what is called breech presentation. Sometimes the baby completes only a partial rotation, leaving a shoulder, an arm, or one or both feet positioned at the lower part of the cervix. A breech position, if not reversed, calls for important decisions. The options are limited to making every effort to help the baby turn, to birth the baby in the breech position, or to resort to a surgical birth. Since few medical providers are trained in the birthing of breech-presented babies, most resort to cesarean births. But this doesn't need to be the first avenue to explore. Many women birth their breech-presented babies vaginally with home birth midwives. Helping the breech-positioned baby to turn. Many babies have been coached to turn with the help of hypnobirthing techniques. A special session has proven to be very effective in helping the breech-presented baby to spontaneously reposition into vertex position on its own. This concept is buttressed in a study presented by Dr. Louis Melmadrona, formerly of the Psychiatric Department of the University of Vermont Medical School and Arizona University School of Medicine. The study included 100 women who were referred from practicing obstetricians and an additional 100 who responded to an advertisement. Only women who were found to be carrying their babies in breech position at 36 weeks gestation or more were included. Mel Madrona approached this study looking at reports on serial ultrasound examinations and abdominal palpitation that suggested that the likelihood of a breech position baby turning after the 37th week was no more than 12%. 100 women in the study group used hypnotherapy. The comparison group, consisting of 100 women, had no hypnotherapy, though some did have ECV, external cephalic version, a procedure whereby the baby's head is manually manipulated from outside the abdomen to bring about the downward turn. In the study group, the mothers, while in hypnosis, were led through guided imagery to bring about deep relaxation. Suggestions were then given that they visualize their babies easily turning and see the turn accomplished, with the baby in proper vertex position for birthing. The mothers were helped to visualize the uterus becoming pliable and relaxed in order to allow the baby sufficient room to make the move. The mother was asked to talk to her baby, and the therapists encouraged the baby to release itself from the position it had settled into and to turn downward for an easy birth. The study ended with 81 of the 100 breech babies in the study group having turned spontaneously from breech position to vertex position. It was originally thought that each mother would require approximately 10 hours of hypnotherapy in order to accomplish the desired result. As the study unfolded, the average number of hours spent with each woman was only 4, and half of the successful 81 turns required only one session. In the comparison group of 100 women who did not participate in hypnotherapy, only 26 babies turned spontaneously. An additional 20 were turned with ECV. It should be noted that it is not uncommon for the baby who is turned through ECV to turn back into breech position. The figures arrived at through this study are considered medically quite significant. From these findings, we see that in addition to working with visualization conducive to relaxing the uterus, mothers with babies in breech position can be helped through release therapy. Release therapy is an integral part of the hypnobirthing program, where mothers are helped to identify and release negative emotions. If your baby is in breech presentation and there is talk of a possible surgical birth, seek the assistance of your hypnobirthing practitioner, who will help you with a special hypnosis session that has been found to be especially successful in achieving the desired turn. When the turning of the breech baby is achieved through relaxation and tension release, the baby usually remains in vertex position. Your practitioner can also help you with finding community resources, acupuncturists, acupressurists, and chiropractors who perform the Webster technique, and reflexologists and others who can help with turning techniques. Inquire about tilting techniques and other methods for helping the baby to turn. Then, and only then, consider ECV, which is a last resort to avoid a cesarean section. It is not usually a procedure of choice for most women, but it is preferable to surrendering to a surgical birth. Before labor, when baby is ready. From working with hypnobirthing mothers over many years, I find that our mothers welcome the early signs that labor is near. Sometime prior to term, the mother begins to sense various signals that nature is playing its part in tuning up for the main concert. Early signals. Practice labor. Much talked about, but little understood, these surges are nature's way of preparing the uterus for your baby's birthing. They are much like the tightening sensations that are felt during labor, and for that reason, we call them practice labor. For first babies, these tightening surges will probably show up sometime during the end of the 7th month. For subsequent pregnancies, they may appear as early as the 6th month. From day to day, you'll experience more of the practice labor surges. As you move and walk, You may even feel a sharp jolt as the pelvic area begins to make room for the baby's journey. This is the pubis bone moving forward and pulling at a ligament here or there. Your body is telling you that it, too, is getting ready. Until the final month of pregnancy, these surges are usually erratic and infrequent. As you come near to term, however, you may find that the intervals between them become shorter and then finally become as frequent as 10 to 20-minute intervals. Interestingly enough, these surges will sometimes give you a jolt with their pressure, like waves, but they are not accompanied by pain. This makes one wonder if the painless pre-labor sensations are further proof of the mind-body connection. The mind knows the body is not ready for labor, so no pain impulse is emitted. While most people don't consider these surges to be labor, there are many who would disagree and support the belief that the body is already involved in a labor practice that does, in fact, result in the cervix beginning to open. Some moms will welcome the opportunity to remain relaxed and greet the surges with ease. As you reach term, you will want to take more notice of these sensations so that you don't dismiss what could actually be labor. Many moms at this time get tuned in to their bodies, and they depend upon this and their instincts to let them know when the real thing has arrived. Lightning. Several weeks before actual labor begins, the baby drops into the lower pelvic area. This is called lightning. This is usually accompanied by mixed reactions on the part of the mother. It does, indeed, relieve that cramped feeling under the rib cage, and breathing is much easier. However, it also brings about much more pressure on the lower pelvis, and walking becomes a whole new experience. In spite of adjustments that you will have to make for this new position of your baby, you will find, like most other mothers, that your excitement begins to build. Vaginal discharge. Occasionally, you may experience more than a slight vaginal discharge that can be clear or whitish. This is another signal that your body is preparing for birth, and it is due to a higher volume of blood flow to that region of your body. Another signal that your body is preparing for birth. Looking at your due date. What if your estimated due date, EDD, arrives and labor doesn't start? A whole new set of feelings can spring up. Emotionally and physically, you feel ready to go, to birth your baby, but it isn't happening. If you take your due date as gospel and you're not prepared for a possible delay, these days of anticipation can take a toll on you. You may find that anxious, well-meaning family members begin to call regularly to check. Your doctor will begin to take a more watchful eye. Fears concerning the baby's well-being can creep in, and each day can start and end with a feeling of disappointment. Perhaps you'll hear many stories from your friends who chose to be induced when the baby was overdue. You may even be tempted to accept the subtle suggestions that you don't really need to wait any longer, or that you can be home for the holiday or the weekend. The important thing for you to do is to continue to relax and wait. Your baby knows when it's time to be born. Trust him or her. Before overreacting to outside pressures, remember that the estimated due date is just that, an estimation. One of our doctors calls it the guess date. Some suggest that it would be more realistic to refer to a birth month or to a segment of the month, toward the end of September or sometime during the first part of October. There are several reasons why your due date is only an estimation. To begin with, the selected date is usually calculated by recalling the date of the first day of your last menstrual period, which may not be accurate. Counting back 3 months from that date and then adding 7 days. However, Recent studies suggest that for first-time moms, 15 days should be added, and 10 days should be added for moms who have birthed previously. There are several factors that can skew this estimate. A. Actual calendar months differ in length. B. Menstrual cycles differ in the number of days between periods and in the duration of a period. C. The length of gestation can vary. D. Detection of a heartbeat or fetal movement may seem to support the timely development of the baby at a given point, but it must be remembered that just as children differ in their development, so too do babies in utero. It's interesting to note that the number of babies who arrive on their due date is only around 5%. So if your birthing is not on time, relax. You will be among the 95% of parents whose babies are born in advance of the EDD or sometime after the appointed date. The gestation period for 95% of normal babies lies within a very broad range of 265 to 300 days from the first day of the mother's last period. The average, taken from those figures, is the 282 days usually used to estimate the due date. Also interesting is the fact that so many women today are being given as many as 3 different due dates as they proceed through pregnancy. That is certainly an indication that estimates are not solid. How many times did your conception date change? You need to be able to focus on the fact that the range is between 38 and 42 weeks. You are not actually post-date until you reach 42 weeks. Remember, too, that if you are a first-time mom, it's not unreasonable to expect that you may go a bit beyond the routine 42 weeks. Many physicians will not even consider artificial initiation of labor in the absence of any special circumstances until you are at 42 weeks. Your EDD has no magical significance, and as long as your baby is strong and healthy, and you are strong and healthy, don't allow yourself to be pressured into thinking that every day beyond the EDD is a precarious time. For your baby's sake, resist the temptation to bring medical intervention to your pregnancy when you pass your guess date, and certainly don't even consider induction prior to the EDD without a valid medical indication. Induction should occur only when a medical necessity exists for you or your baby. The artificial induction of labor for a baby whose term has been mistakenly calculated could result in birthing a premature baby. It can also mean further medical procedures if your cervix is not ripe and ready for birthing. If it is suggested that you be induced, you owe it to yourself and your baby to have a valid explanation of the reason. You will want to ask about the risks of induction at the time it is recommended, as well as the benefits. Ask to know what your rating is on the Bishop score, which is used to determine the degree to which your body is ready for labor and the probable success of your being induced. Inductions with low Bishop scores could mean that the induction could be difficult, leading to lengthy, painful labor and an increased possibility of surgical birth. A score of 8 or 9 would indicate that the induction probably would be successful, but it could also indicate that your baby's birth is near. An induction should be considered only if there is some true medical indication for it. If you've done a good job initially at securing the support of your caregiver, this should not become a problem for you. Neither your body nor your baby understands arbitrary timetables or charts. So take the due date in stride and let Mother Nature and your baby play out their intended roles in their own time. It is the safest and most natural way. Once intervention is introduced in the way of artificial induction, you have already moved away from normal birth. Even the casual suggestion of just popping that bag, or doing a little sweep, or helping your labor to start with a little jump start, can change the whole ball game for your birthing. These seemingly benign procedures can also result in a labor that is prolonged and sometimes painful if your body is really not ready to go. When labor is delayed because the cervix is not opening, you may find yourself hearing further suggestions because your cervix just doesn't seem to want to open, or your cervix is taking an inordinate amount of time to get started. The best advice in looking at your due date is don't. Letting your baby and your body set the pace. Mothers, hold on to your bag of waters. It is there for a reason. William and Martha Sears, The Birth Book. The actual trigger for the beginning of labor is not entirely known, but it is believed that a hormone secreted from within the baby's body triggers oxytocin, the natural labor-initiating hormone within the mother's body, and the miracle unfolds. That is all part of the master plan, a plan that has a designated flow, but not a designated schedule. A labor that is slow to start, or later a resting labor, does not automatically call for the introduction of a chemical stimulant to start or speed up your labor. Nor do these indications necessarily mean a complicated labor. If you experience a latent period when your surges are not starting, or if later the distance between the surges is lengthening, it doesn't mean that your birthing has gone askew. It simply means that the uterus and your baby are not so sure that this is the time yet. Discussion of rushing in to jumpstart labor or move things along or augment sluggish surges can actually bring about the opposite effect and cause a total interruption of the kind of labor that you are planning. If you allow yourself to succumb to these suggestions, you can easily find yourself in the middle of a chemically and chronologically managed labor. If such a comment is made, you or your birthing companion can nicely explain that unless there is a medical urgency, you would like to stay with your birth preferences and that you are in no hurry. One father, when told that if he didn't agree to inducing labor, they could be there all day, commented, "Oh, that's okay. We're not going anywhere." Nature will have its way, and calm is what you need. Occasionally, a mom will find that even when she accepts the suggestion of rupturing her membranes or of using a vaginal gel or Pitocin drip, her labor still does not move along. Perhaps her body is being prompted into a labor for which it is not quite ready. Since the development of your baby's brain cells is accelerated during the last 8 weeks of pregnancy, it seems prudent to let the baby complete this development in utero and not rush birth. Once artificial induction or augmentation has been introduced in any form, you may find that you have surrendered your choices. Before agreeing to the introduction of procedures or drugs into your body, and therefore your baby's body, weigh the possibility that you may be placing yourself and your baby on a very slippery slope. Hopefully, these issues have weighed heavily upon your decision when you selected your care provider. The birthing room is no place to find that you should have questioned earlier or more often during your prenatal office visits. Some women find that by accepting even the smallest doses of synthetic oxytocin, they are able to continue to call on their hypnobirthing relaxation techniques. Others tell us that they tried, but eventually Pitocin won out, and they were into even larger doses. They had to request an epidural. This is one of the best reasons for not agreeing to it in the first place, unless there is a true medical indication to consider. And again, we turn to the argument for hiring the right caregiver. When the family and caregiver are working together, this discussion will be moot. You will trust that such recommendations will be given only in the event of a situation that genuinely requires a change in the course of your labor. Few expectant parents really take the time beforehand to explore the risks of deciding to use drugs for faster birth. Parents rarely seek an opportunity to talk with their caregivers about the effects of narcotics upon their preborn and subsequently newborn. No parent would ever choose to give drugs to his or her newborn baby needlessly. But fear of labor can be strong enough to make it simpler for the pregnant family to avoid questions concerning the risks of inductions or epidurals. Similarly, few doctors take the opportunity to explain the adverse side effects of labor drugs with their patients. The matter becomes the medical version of don't ask, don't tell. The well-respected physician's desk reference, PDR, clearly states that at this time there are no adequate and well-controlled studies for the use of these drugs with pregnant women. The PDR also points out that it is still not known whether these drugs can cause fetal harm when administered to laboring women. There is no hard evidence to support most of these procedures. Even pills or any of the injected drugs used to take the edge off can suppress a laboring mom's efforts to work with her body's surges, as hypnobirthing moms are trained to do. An epidural used to quell the effects of Pitocin-Syntocin may offer relief, but it also has a downside. These narcotics can cause reduced muscle tone and prolong labor. Because of the numbing effects of drugs, the laboring woman is less aware of her surges and may not be able to efficiently assist in working with them to facilitate opening. This can prolong labor and often results in increased administration of Pitocin-Syntocin, leading to continued pain relievers, and so on. A very vicious cycle is established. If she is unable to feel surges and assist in the birthing phase, she could end up with a surgical birth. Fetology experts are now saying that the disorientation that a baby experiences when his mother has accepted drugs can result in disconnection between mother and baby and cause a long-term feeling of abandonment on the part of the baby. Epidurals, in addition to causing dysfunction in the birthing process, can also cause a woman to run a fever. If this occurs, there is very little remedy except to get the baby born quickly. If there is talk of induction, turn to the suggested natural means of bringing on labor in the next chapter. Don't dismiss these natural means of initiation, especially professional acupuncture, chiropractic, and acupressure. If you are already in labor but are being offered augmentation, ask for time to be able to use some of the same natural methods used to initiate labor. Ask for privacy so you can use natural methods, hugs before drugs. As long as indications point to a healthy, strong baby and you are in no danger, be willing to protect your baby from the assault of drugs. It is important for parents to meet all diagnoses and recommendations with curiosity. They should pause and consider the effects upon the mother and the baby, as well as the overall impact of the birthing experience. It is sometimes difficult for those medical care providers who subscribe to active management of labor to adjust to waiting and standing by in the event that they are needed. But if this is how you see your labor advancing, and it differs from what you envisioned, you will want to rethink the path that you were on. If you are already beginning to sense that your birthing may go this way, you may want to make some changes now. Mothers, hold on to your bag of waters. It is there for a reason. William Sears and Martha Sears, The Birth Book. When Nature Needs Assistance. While simply going beyond your due date is not by itself cause to bring about medical intervention, on rare occasions a medically risky situation could occur in late pregnancy that should not be brushed aside or ignored as being nothing. If you experience any of the following signals, call your care provider at the earliest possible time. Let your caregiver decide if indeed it is nothing, or whether your condition requires medical attention. Such instances include premature labor 3 or more weeks early, diminished fetal motion for more than 6 hours, a prolonged period of time from release of the membrane without the natural start of labor, persistent and severe headaches, possibly elevated blood pressure, a strong odor, color, or significant amount of meconium, greenish-brown tar-like substance in the amniotic fluid, excessive vaginal bleeding, evidence of a prolapsed cord. Get off your feet, raise your buttocks, and call 911. Indication of infection or fever, persistent or excessive vomiting or diarrhea, dizziness or blurred vision, severe swelling of hands, face, ankles, or feet, considerably darkened urine. Initiating labor naturally. Absent these factors, your relaxed attitude can work wonders in bringing about a natural start to your labor, along with safe, labor-inducing techniques that you can use naturally and easily. Hot and spicy foods. Mexican or Italian foods with lots of hots have had more than occasional success in starting labor. By stirring up the digestive processes in your body, you also stir your birthing muscles and your body into action. Ask your hypnobirthing practitioner for the special Italian recipe. This is a good method to combine with any of the other techniques. Lovemaking, hugs before drugs. If your membrane hasn't released, make love. Semen contains the hormone prostaglandin, which helps to soften the cervix. Here we see nature going full circle. What entered the uterus to help make the baby can help get it out. Kissing, hugging, fondling, and gentle finger or oral, nipple, or clitoral stimulation triggers the hormonal connection between the breast and vagina, producing the natural oxytocin that can start uterine surges. It is helpful to bring the mother to orgasm. If the stimulation of one nipple is not sufficient to start surges, try stimulation of both nipples simultaneously. However, prolonged or vigorous nipple stimulation of both nipples is not advised, as it can have an adverse effect on your baby by creating hyperstimulation. Visualization. While your nipple or clitoris is being stimulated, use the rosebud visualization, focusing on the rosebuds slowly unfolding and opening. Gently direct your breath down into the vaginal region while visualizing. Walk. Walk, walk, and then walk some more. Bath. A medium-hot bath often provides the relaxation you need. You or your partner can scoop the water over your nipples and your abdomen. Take a shower, directing the hot water over your abdomen. Fear release. Have your birth companion take you through a fear release session similar to the one practiced in class so that you can search your thoughts to see if there are any lingering fears, emotions, or unresolved issues that you need to release. Locked-up emotions can make you feel uptight and cause your body to produce inhibiting catecholamine. Your tension can translate into a tense cervix, preventing the flow of your natural relaxants. If you feel you need professional help, call your hypnobirthing instructor for an individual fear release session or ask for a referral to a hypnotherapist. It works wonders. Use this time for talking to the baby. Acupressure. An acupressurist can facilitate the natural onset of labor almost immediately and yet afford you the time to make whatever preparations you need. Using the services of a professional will improve your chances of having the most effective points used and of obtaining faster results. It can also be helpful for use during labor. Do not apply pressure to these points other than at a time when you are ready to initiate labor. Acupuncture, auricular therapy. Like acupressure, There are points that an acupuncturist or an auricular therapist can activate for the easy and effective induction of labor. These are relatively easy procedures and offer a much smoother entry into labor. Like the acupressure points, it is important that these points not be stimulated during pregnancy, except for the purpose of induction when labor is slow to start or during a labor that has slowed. Seeking the services of homeopathic and naturopathic doctors can be beneficial when these other recommendations have not been sufficient. When you have exhausted all these means of natural initiations of labor, and it is determined that artificial induction by Pitocin-Syntocin drip is an absolute necessity, you may request that only a minimal dose be administered and that it not be increased without your consent. You will also want to ask that the Pitocin-Syntocin be withdrawn once your body has taken over. Many of our mothers report that the hypnobirthing relaxation techniques that they mastered saw them through even with an induced labor, but it should be a last resort. The onset of labor. Labor is usually defined as that period from the time that your cervix actually begins to thin and open until the moment that the baby is born. Hypnobirthing recognizes only two phases of labor, the thinning and opening phase, and then the actual birthing phase, where the baby descends as his mother assists with birth breathing. For the purpose of this study, I am covering in this chapter the more familiar aspects of labor as experienced by most couples. Much of the material applies to most birthing women, whether they are birthing in a hospital setting, freestanding birth center, or in their homes. Labor will start with the first phase any time between 38 and 42 weeks of pregnancy. The 40-week estimation of term is called EDD, estimated due date. From 40 weeks, gestation period is expressed as 40.1, 40.2, 40.3, and so on. First-time moms average a gestation period of 41.3. A woman is not post-date or late until she has reached 42.0. The most common signs of the onset of labor are the release of the membranes, can be leaking or a sizable gush, release of the uterine seal and birth show, uterine surges, often up to 30 minutes apart, a feeling of constipation or loose stooling, surges that form a pattern. None of the above. Some women report only tightness around the abdominal area. Sometimes the release of membrane is an early sign of labor. For others, it may not occur until just before the baby is born. Babies can even be born on call with the membrane surrounding them like a veil. If the release of your membranes is the first signal that your labor is beginning, you will want to check the fluid to be sure that it, one, is clear with no particles, except for an occasional show of white vernix, the cheese-like covering that surrounds the baby in the sac, 2, has no color, 3, has no putrid odor. When the membranes release, call your care provider to report that you have examined the fluid and it meets all of these conditions. Assure the caregiver that you wish to remain at home until your labor is underway and that you will call before leaving for the hospital. If you have hired the right caregiver, this should be the end of the conversation. You may begin to hear of the danger of infection. This often is followed by the suggestion that you come into the hospital to be checked so that antibiotics can be administered to prevent infection or so that you can be monitored. While infection is a possibility, it is a very rare one and it is not imminent. Bacteria have to be introduced into the body in order for infection to take place. As one doctor says, the vagina is not a straw. Another advises, the vagina is not a sponge. When you step out of the bathtub, there is no flow of water that is gathered in the vagina. One of our doctors reminds his moms that bacteria are not sperm and they don't swim. Don't be intimidated by talk of early infection if there is no indication of infection. Accepting a vaginal exam can be the first step toward artificial induction. Often being checked translates to check in, followed by pressure to jumpstart your labor. If you remain at home until your labor really starts, you will avoid both of these interventions. Sometimes there is a considerable delay between the time that your membrane releases and active labor starts. This doesn't mean that something is wrong. In the event that the onset of labor is delayed, refer back to the suggestions for initiating labor naturally. Don't buy into the notion that labor must be started immediately. Chances are, labor will start on its own within 24 hours. Buy time and request that you wait for another couple of hours or so. Your temperature can be monitored. If your labor is delayed for a long period of time and you are being pressured to have your labor induced, request that antibiotics be administered. Politely decline any vaginal exams. It's that simple. It is not necessary that an induction procedure be initiated, barring any other indications of a need to do so. Agreeing to that first intervention or to an artificial induction in the absence of medical indication could turn your plans for a calm birth upside down. You will know that the onset of true labor has arrived when you experience uterine surges that are rhythmic, tightening and releasing in a distinct pattern. You may or may not feel your uterine surges starting. Some moms report feeling only a tightening sensation in and around the abdomen at the onset of their labor. For many hypnobirthing mothers, these sensations are not accompanied by discomfort. They are not convinced that their labor has actually begun. Some report only that they feel constipated and need to relieve their bowels. Before or after you experience your first uterine surge, you may discover that the uterine seal that prevents bacteria from entering the uterus has dislodged. This birth show is a stringy discharge that can be clear, tinged, slightly pink, or bright red. From the time you were admitted at the hospital or birthing center, your assessment will be judged by how long you have been in labor. Don't allow yourself or your birth companion to become overly caught up in the mechanics of timing and charting. You will sense when the intervals between surges are becoming shorter if you listen to your body frequently. The months of conditioning and practice are now paying off. Your positive attitude and confidence will allow you to remain calm and relaxed. When your surges begin, use relaxation and slow breathing to increase the efficiency of each surge, visualizing the opening rosebud and breathing gently down toward your vagina. This will encourage the uterus to start surging. The calm hypnobirthing approach to birth inhibits secretion of catecholamines, so it is likely that your digestive functioning will not be arrested. You need energy, and you need to snack. Drink lots of fluids to avoid dehydration and keep your bladder empty. At your signal, usually closing your eyes, your birth companion will know that you are in surge and will stroke your arm while reciting the cues that are on the birth companion's prompt card, available from your hypnobirthing instructor. It's not necessary to follow the prompts line by line. These are suggestions for the kinds of phrases that will assist you in remaining relaxed. The most important factor to consider during labor may be what you sense and feel, not what you see or hear. As your birth companion gives prompts, trust your body and go deeper within each surge that you breathe up, maximizing each surge to the fullest. Trust your body, as it knows and will tell you when it is the best time to move to a birthing facility. If you are birthing at home, continue to relax and stay at home. As labor advances, thinning and opening. Prepare for a no-fault birth. If you confidently participate in all the decisions made during your labor and delivery, even those that were not in your birth plan, you are likely to look upon your birth with no blame and no regrets. William Sears and Martha Sears, The Birth Book. As you move through the thinning and opening phase of your labor, you will find that your many weeks of preparation are now stepping in to assist you as you turn your birthing over to your baby and your body. You call upon your natural birthing instinct and literally do nothing but allow your body to remain loose and limp. Creating a nest, as you did when you practiced, can greatly assist you in reaching a wonderful feeling of lightness and buoyancy. Instead of looking upon your labor in fragments, as in the case in most other programs, you will see your labor as a continuum. You may hear mention of centimeters and discussion of how open your cervix is. Pay no attention to those numbers. Hypnobirthing mothers blow those figures right out of the water. One can be at only 4 centimeters at one vaginal exam, and surprisingly at 7 or 8 at the next exam. The number tells you little or nothing, and certainly they are not a valid gauge of how long your labor will last. They tell you only where you are at that given moment. Relax and just visualize the cervix opening in a continuing manner. Hallmarks of labor. During this period, you will probably experience at least one or more of the hallmarks of labor. Those milestones that tell you that your labor is moving along. They are all very natural and good messages from your body. Your birth companion will remind you of the hallmarks as you pass each one. It's exciting. Your body heat will rise and or drop alternately. 1 minute you will be kicking off bedding, in another you'll be requesting a warmed blanket. When you get up to empty your bladder, there may be a spot of blood on the chucks pad that was beneath you. The body is directing its efforts downward. You may begin to hiccup, burp, feel nauseated, or even vomit as your diaphragm has an initial reaction to the lower pulsations in your body that will soon move your baby down to birth. The good news is that it doesn't last long. It happens rarely with hypnobirthing moms because their bodies are calm and not in tumult. Regardless of how calmly and well you have approached your birthing, you may all of a sudden feel the need to escape. Even a mom who is having a fantastic birthing has been known to express the thought, "I don't think I want to do this any longer," or "I can't do this anymore." This last hallmark is one of the most exciting. It means that the birth of your baby is right around the corner. Your birth companion will remind you of this hallmark, and the mood changes for everyone in the room. Your baby is almost here. What is happening? The cervix is thinning. The longitudinal fibers